Sammy Ames surveyed the holiday festivities with no clue that the trajectory of her life was about to change. She would never look at hot chocolate, mistletoe, or sheep the same way. It seemed as though the entire town had turned out for the traditional winter solstice and multicultural holiday celebration, as usual. The same old food stands were clustered on either side of the winding path, the same neighbors manning them, the same wild collection of crafts and homemade goods, the same greetings delivered with puffs of breath. December in upstate New York was cold, really freaking cold. But it had never occurred to the residents that perhaps the festivities should be held in warmer weather or, what normal towns did, move them into the homes of residents where each family could choose to mark Christmas or Hanukkah or Kwanzaa or solstice or secular family quality time or nothing at all on their own. This was Blue Moon. No one did anything on their own, even if they wanted to. Instead, they bundled up in parkas and mittens and stood in line for latkes and lentils and lasagna. There were holidays to celebrate, cultures to respect, diversity to appreciate. At 14, Sammy secretly appreciated the fuss, secretly liked that her hometown's mission was to include, not exclude. She was, by her own account, an average-ish girl with average looks and an average personality. The people around her, both peers and family, always seemed more vibrant, more sure of the space they claimed. But in this tiny corner of the world, even though she wasn't sure where she fit, Blue Moon still made room for her. "Ugh, why do we have to do this every year?" her best friend, Eden Moody, asked, stamping her feet to stay warm. Her black tights, though a trendy, can't-miss proclamation that the girl in them was a budding rebel, weren't as warm as Sammy's practical long underwear and jeans. Sammy was debating whether to engage in a rebellion of her own, while dressed appropriately for the weather, of course. After all, rebelling against expectations didn't mean she had to freeze to death. Where Eden's parents embraced their teen daughter's desire to express herself and experience the consequences of those expressions, Sammy's mother, Dr. Anastasia Ames, seemed determined to micromanage her down the path of acquiescence. "I'm building this veterinary practice for us, Samantha. I'm counting on you to carry on the legacy I started, Samantha. No, you may not skip college to join the Peace Corps, Samantha." It would have been nice to be consulted before having her entire life decided for her. Just because Sammy loved animals didn't mean she wanted to join her mother's livestock veterinary practice. Maybe she wanted to work for a horse breeding program or study turtles in the Galapagos. But her mother seemed more interested in her reputation and what it would mean to that reputation if her daughter joined the roster at her practice. "You don't like this at all?" Sammy asked her frozen friend. Eden's eyes followed Beckett Pierce's butt as it, and he, wandered by with his equally cute younger brother Jax. Moonbeam Parker, Eden's cousin, walked in step with Beckett, making puppy dog eyes at him. Eden was on an accelerated path toward adulthood. She'd had her first kiss at 12, Amir Lubarnas at the roller rink during Nancy Finkelstein's birthday party. The still-first-kissless Sammy sometimes wished she'd had a moonbeam in her life to influence her out of her comfort zone. "I'm almost 15, Eden said airily. "I'm exploring my hormonal-induced disdain for life." The Blue Moon School District's health and sex education curricula were embarrassingly comprehensive.